Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
Welcome to Warriors Off Court, the San Francisco Chronicles NBA podcast. I'm your host, Warriors beat writer Connor Letourneau, and today I'm joined by sports columnist Scott Osler and Ann Killian to break down Golden State's championship clinching win over Cleveland and to look back on another memorable Warriors season.
So here we are in the Westin Hotel in downtown Cleveland. To be completely honest with our listeners, it is 3:14 a.m. Well, the thing about covering the playoffs, just covering the NBA in general, is you have a certain adrenaline flowing through you when you're right on deadline for a game. And there's no adrenaline like covering a clinching game in the NBA Finals. So we decided after filing on deadline tonight that we would come to this hotel room, Scott Osler's hotel room, and record a podcast because, you know, we're not sleeping, so we might as well record a podcast. And you know, I was about to say it was a fun one. It was a fun one because a team won a championship, but the reality is the game itself wasn't that entertaining. There wasn't a lot of suspense there. So I'm not going to ask you what your takeaways from the game were, because the reality is the game didn't actually matter. What mattered was the ultimate result, which was a team won a championship. So what were your thoughts? What are your biggest thoughts about the Warriors season? And what did you feel like this championship meant? Like, what was the biggest takeaway from this title?
Oh, hi, it's me. And full disclosure, along the way between the end of the game and getting to this hotel room, we did stop and have a couple of drinks. So what this meant was this is a dynasty now, pure and simple. If they had lost, they would have been mocked. They wouldn't be a super team. But they got their third championship in 4 years. They did it with a sweep. There is no denying that the Warriors are now one of the elite of the elite NBA teams. It's a dynasty. That's the biggest takeaway. The other big takeaway is LeBron James coming out saying he broke his hand, and basically LeBron was going to steal the Warriors' thunder no matter what tonight because it was going to be his last game in Cleveland. But the fact that he did it with, you know, bringing out the cast and the broken hand, that is going to be the story tomorrow for most of the world. But here in the Bay Area, definitely it's going to be the Warriors are a dynasty.
Yeah, LeBron's legacy, I think, took a big hit tonight. Number one, he broke his hand with a stupid, impetuous move. He punched the blackboard or whiteboard or whatever you call it, which is, you know, if you're LeBron, you just don't do that. You know, if you're a second-year minor league pitcher in Albuquerque or something like that, you do that. But LeBron James, come on, seriously. If he broke it in the game, there'd be some honor. And the fact, number two, the fact that he came in the press room with the cast and with a woeful story, if you're going to do that, then come in and just talk about the game and then go back and get your cast and slink out the back door. But that's, to me, that is typical LeBron theatrics, dramatics, look at me kind of BS. So forget about LeBron for a minute. But what the Warriors did tonight, it's like, you know, it's that old song, No, No, You Can't Take That Away From Me. What the Warriors have done over 4 years, if next year they fall on their face and squeak into the playoffs and have some troubles and stuff, that would be terrible, and that would be for Warrior fans and everything. But what they've done in the last 4 years is incredible. You can make all the excuses you want about injuries and other teams not being strong and all that stuff. But, you know, the league for at least the last couple of years is geared up for the Warriors totally, like Phoenix and so forth, and the Rockets. But they're phenomenal. It sounds like a homer kind of deal, but 4 years at the very top of the heap, and that 1 year they lost was because maybe because Steph was injured. Just phenomenal deal.
Yeah, I look at it as just the beat writer. I look at it a little bit more on a micro scale, just because I experienced it on a day-to-day basis. But I thought it was a little fitting. I thought it was good for them that they won very convincingly, and they led almost the entire game, and they had a really good all-around performance. It was as close to, you know, a complete performance as we've probably seen from them all season. And you can attribute that to, oh, well, the Cavs were down 3-0 and blah, 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 blah. But the reality is they played a really good game tonight. And I think that's important because this is a team that has been dealing with complacency and a lack of urgency all season. And they've basically ridden their talent just in one quarter or one half all season. And so for them to put together close to 48 minutes in their final game to win a title, I thought was kind of fitting, you know. And yes, they still had a big third quarter because they are the Warriors. But, you know, they opened strong. They got off to an early lead. There was one little run that the Cavs had, I think, in the second quarter. But right after that, the Warriors snapped back into action and did their thing and were great defensively, did a really nice job on LeBron overall. And they were hitting threes. And the thing about this team is because they haven't been hitting as many threes this season as they have in past seasons. So you almost forget that's what it all goes back to. This is at their core, you know, a team that is trying to rely on the three pointer and Steph and Clay. And, you know, you saw kind of vintage Warriors at times tonight. You saw them being the team that captured the country's imagination in 2015.
But also what it goes back to is defense, and which is where they've really been lacking this season a lot of the times, and especially in that last month of the regular season where their defense was kind of atrocious. And their defense right out of the gate tonight was really, really strong. And they looked focused. They looked like earlier in the day, Steve Kerr had said, you know, I think we're more poised, we're more mature than we were last year. We're going to know how to deal with this closeout pressure better than we did last year. Last year we were kind of giddy, and this year we're like more buttoned down. And that you could absolutely see that right from the get-go. They were very focused. They were very like, let's just get this job done. Let's do it. We know we're the better team. And, you know, we haven't seen that a lot from them this year. I mean, they've been up and down, but also they were all healthy tonight. They were all there and ready to go, which they haven't been. I mean, there's been a lot of talk about, you know, who's been hurt on other teams and what else. But, you know, the Warriors, Andre Iguodala was such a huge, huge, huge missing piece for what? Six games of the playoffs. So the fact that he was back, they were kind of at their best Warriors, clicking, everything working in sync.
Yeah, you have to step back and take a big picture view of this team, and just not what they did this year, but in the whole historical context. And it's crazy, you know, 15 years from now, people will be saying, wait a minute, you had a team, you had Steph Curry was on the team, and Draymond Green and Kevin Durant, and then what's that other guy? Klay Thompson was on the team too, and they had Steve Kerr coaching it. My God, of course it's a phenomenal cast. It's really I've covered sports for a long time, and it's really an amazing cast of great players who are not only great players, but are so locked into that whole team thing, which Kerr has instilled and brought in and all this stuff. It's kind of an amazing, the whole deal is kind of amazing.
So Kevin Durant won his second straight finals MVP, and it was a pretty close one. Steph Curry had a phenomenal performance tonight and had a great overall finals performance. So I think a lot of voters kind of struggled with that one, but it ended up going to Durant, and I think Durant's very deserving. I know there's going to be people we're going to hear in the next couple of days, oh, man, well, you know, Durant won back-to-back finals MVPs. Is Durant actually the best player on this team? Is Durant actually the number one guy? Because in the games that mattered the most in the finals, he was their best player. So what do you think that, A, him winning his second finals MVP means to his legacy? And what do you think it means in terms of his place in the hierarchy of the Warriors?
Well, I think that those of us who cover the team know who the most important Warrior is, and it is still Steph Curry. He's the thing that makes it go. Durant is awesome. He was awesome in the finals. Steph could have easily won. In fact, I kind of think if the vote was taken at the end of the game, Steph might have won the MVP because he finished with 37 points. I believe the vote is taken at the end of the third quarter. So, you know, it would have been a close one. But there were certain media members who were trying to pursue the topic of who's the MVP. Was it, you know, is this going to be like an issue? Did Steph want it? Was he screwed out of it? It was kind of like a big talking point after the game for certain members of the media. And that, like, that's not this team at all. Like, Steph, I'm sure he would like it. It would be great. He would, you know, he'd also like an Olympic medal, but he chose not to play in the Olympics. You know, he's really about, and this whole team is really about, like, can we win? Can we win a championship? And like Steve Kerr said, he was joking, you know, about when we went to the Hamptons to recruit Durant, nobody was saying, like, well, who's going to win the NBA Finals MVP? It's really not an issue. But I do think it's great for Durant in the history books. You're going to look back on him as one of the greatest players, and this is going to be part of his legacy. And so, you know, it's always nice to have that, like, written in print thing where, oh, consecutive MVPs of the NBA Finals. But I just think it's not really that big of a deal internally on this team.
Oh, yeah? No. Very interesting vote, though. Usually it's kind of an easy call. And this time LeBron was not going to get it because his team got swept. So you knew it was going to be one of the two guys. And I know they don't really care, and it doesn't. But you know, when we go back and look at it 5 years from now and everything, it's like, oh, who got the MVP? Well, it could have been either guy. It could have been Steph or KD. But the reason KD came to Golden State is because he knew, to oversimplify, he knew that Steph didn't care if he got MVP. When Steph told KD at the East Hamptons meeting or whatever it was, that when he told him, this is not my team, this is our team, you know. Everybody wants to, LeBron, all these guys, they want, this is my team. Steph said, this is not my team, this is our team. And LeBron bought into that, and that's why he came here. I don't think he came here to win rings. The rings are a byproduct, but he came here to play high-level basketball, especially with, Durant, I mean, came here to play high-level basketball, especially with Steph Curry. I'm not selling Draymond Green or Clay or anything short, but I think Durant said, okay, I'm playing with Russell Westbrook now, and I could trade him for Steph Curry. Wow, that was the easiest trade in history.
Yeah, and a lot, obviously, as we talked about earlier, was made of LeBron's hand injury, but one thing that David West went out of his way to bring up in post game in the locker room when they're spraying champagne and everything was that he said that no player he's ever played with in his entire career would have played on an ankle that was as badly sprained as Clay's. He said that Clay's sprain was as bad as he's seen, and the fact that he was able to play, much less actually contribute, was unbelievable to him. And he said that Clay is the toughest player he's ever played with. And this is coming from a guy who's 37 years old, who's a two-time All-Star, who's been in the league for, I think, 15, 16 years. You know, he's been around the block. He knows what he's talking about. He wouldn't give that type of praise out lightly. I think that even though he wasn't even in the Finals MVP discussion, this series made me have even another level of respect for Klay and what he's about. I think he's so underappreciated in what he does, and I think he's one of the ultimate X factors in what makes this whole thing run. What do you guys think of what he did this series and just of what he is about?
Well, I think he's everyone's favorite warrior. He's Klay, you know, like he was on the podium and he was looking at his phone and he showed it to Draymond, and Draymond he Googled himself and he said, oh, Draymond said, oh, sweet. It already says Klay Thompson, 3-time NBA champion. That's dope. It's like Klay is already like checking out to make sure his Wikipedia is updated. Klay's hysterical and he is the toughest guy. And just coming right out of the gate, like you could see in the first couple of minutes, he was locked in. He'd gotten a little foul trouble, but he was part of the energy tonight in the way they got out of the gate. And yeah, I mean, I think that, and he didn't, you know, he didn't come in with any drama like LeBron. Just by the way, someone pointed out tonight that the stupidest thing that a Cleveland Cavalier did in this whole series was not J.R. Reed. It ended up being LeBron James. I mean, J.R. Smith was, it ended up being LeBron James, which is a really, really damning kind of thing to say. It wasn't Smith's not knowing what the score was. It ended up being LeBron breaking his hand.
Yeah, I think if you can tell from this little discussion we're having that we're all not fans, certainly, but we're all admirers of what the Warriors have put together and the individual players. There's a lot to be said for the Warriors. You know, they got some strong character and some strong characters. But Klay kind of stands out in a way. I think, you know, people around the league, Steph Curry has his critics. You know, he does his shimmy, he's too cute. He does this and that. Kevin Durant, you know, people can nitpick him. He has those burner Twitter accounts and all that stuff. But Klay Thompson, it would be hard for a Warrior critic to say, all right, I'm going to tell you what's wrong with Klay Thompson. I don't know. The guy's, it's kind of freaky. If there was a most likable player in the league, just around the whole league, it would probably be Klay. Just, he's a hard guy to dislike.
One of my, like, least favorite things about covering a championship is that inevitably people start asking about next season, you know, the off season, the future. And just as a human being, I get annoyed by that because I'm like, yo, the whole year, the whole season led to this moment. Can we all just live in this moment for like 2 seconds, please? And just appreciate what just happened here. But we have to think about next season. And with a lot of teams, the Warriors, I don't think fall into this category, but a lot of teams, you know, when you're asking that question, that championship that they just won might have been their only championship for a very long time. So just appreciate it. But, you know, people started asking those questions tonight, and the reality is I'm on the budget for our newspaper to write tomorrow about what is next for this team, what's the offseason look like. It's just the reality of the situation. So, you know, we already know that the core is coming back next season. Durant said many times he's going to re-sign, and everyone else is on contract. So the core is coming back. All the changes are going to be pretty minor. I mean, to the bench, you know, JaVale, Zaza Pachulia, David West, those guys are in question, Kevon Looney. But with that all said, do you think that the Warriors will go into next season as the favorites to win another championship? And do you think they should?
Oh, yeah, they're going to go. I mean, these guys are still in their prime. Andre might not be, but the rest of the guys right in the middle of, you know, their greatest years. And I can't imagine, you know, they got rid of Houston. Who knows who's coming up in the East? I would assume it would be Boston, but we don't know. But yeah, I think that for sure they're going to be the favorites going in, and they're going to make some changes. And the biggest thing, like Steve Kerr was joking tonight, that he might not show up until the All-Star break because he knows nobody's going to listen to him anyway. The biggest challenge is after you win 3 in 4 years, how do you keep, we saw it this year. And so it's going to be even harder next year, how do you keep your focus and your desire and your, you know, 82 games is a long time. It's a lot of just waiting around to the time where, you know, it counts. So I think that's, again, they're going to be their own biggest enemy. But I do definitely think that they're the favorites, 100%.
Steve Kerr has probably had about 15 beers, and he's probably got a little notebook in his back pocket, and he's writing down ideas on how to run training camp next year, how to inspire the guys to overcome, you know, championship, big head, all that stuff. If anybody's ahead of the curve, it's Steve Kerr. And when you think about it, if these guys, assuming they get back to the playoffs next year, barring some kind of calamity and everything, they will. And if they get to the final rounds, Western finals or whatever, their experience level is just crazy. You know, whoever they face, there's no chance. There's no chance of these guys choking or being unprepared or anything. These guys are all in the prime of their careers, in the prime of their prime ages, and they, you know, we've been talking about legacy and everything here. They're aware of that stuff too. They know it. What they've done so far is phenomenal. They know if they can put up one more championship, that would be incredible. There's no way anybody's going to sneak up on the Warriors and take them by surprise. Plenty of challengers, no doubt, but no coasting in.
And Scott, you covered the Showtime Lakers, and I feel like we're entering the realm now where you can start really drawing those comparisons to the Showtime Lakers, because they were the most recent, I think, real dynasty. I know the Spurs are in the discussion and the early 2000s Lakers, but the Showtime Lakers to me are what the Warriors are striving for. You know, that type of legacy, that type of dynasty. Yeah. And so do you think that the Warriors have it in them, given what they have right now, to be in that discussion long term?
I think they do. I'm not, I haven't studied all the free agent rules. I think it's a little bit more difficult now to keep an entire team together like it was then. But the Showtime Lakers, we're talking about them. Jerry West was a general manager, and he was a genius at not coasting, you know, knowing that no matter what your team is right now, today, tomorrow, you better try to make it better. You better make a trade. You better talk to people. You got to tweak. You got to there's no such thing as, okay, we're fine now and everything's cool. So calling Bob Myers, he's going to be – Myers is on the hot seat right now. I talk about Steve Kerr having a notebook and making plans for next year. Bob Myers, I'm sure, has probably made about 3 calls now, checking on free agents and stuff. So I do think they have a chance to be in that same deal. The Lakers had it going for like a decade, right? And so they got – Warriors have a couple more years to go, but – that would be their goal.
The difference is there isn't a Celtics. There isn't a Larry Bird Celtics, you know? I mean, which is kind of, I mean, you know, they took 3 out of 4 from the Cavaliers. LeBron is phenomenal. He has been phenomenal most of this run. But it's not the same. There's not that balance. So when history looks back on the Warriors, they're going to say, well, they didn't really have a serious competitor in the East that could challenge them. And that's kind of a bummer. It's nothing they can control, but they are, I think in many ways the soulmates of the Showtime Lakers, because I've always believed Steph is as close to magic as anyone has ever come in terms of the joy and the fun and the bringing in other people, you know, the non-hardcore NBA fans into the game. I mean, Steph makes everyone love basketball, and Magic did that 30, 40 years ago, and now Steph is doing it again. So, but in terms of their legacy, I do think that it would have helped if they had a better foil.
Yeah, and that's the thing I'm excited about for next season, is I think that's actually going to start happening. I think that the rest of the league is slowly catching up, and I think that when Boston has a healthy Kyrie and they have a healthy Gordon Hayward, and they already have really strong core young pieces in Tatum and Jaylen Brown, and obviously they have Al Horford, who's not young but a legitimate all-star, I feel like they could really push the Warriors next season, and I'm excited to see that. I also think that Philly and what they're building, that they can potentially push the Warriors going forward. And I'm curious to see where LeBron lands, because I do think that LeBron's going to leave Cleveland, and wherever he goes is probably going to be a threat. And if I'm LeBron, I would go to I've said this a million times, but I would go to Philly if I'm LeBron, because I everyone says that he's going to Lake Show, but like, I'm not convinced that he would have a real shot at winning a championship next year with what the Lakers have, you know, and he would have to get by the Warriors just to get to the finals, you know? So I'm just not convinced. I feel like LeBron wants to go to a place where he can win next year. And I'm not sure he can do that with what the Lakers have.
Yeah, I agree. And next year is going to be the big year, because this year, okay, Cleveland was down. They got rid of Kyrie. They're not as good. And then Cleveland beat Boston, who had some missing parts and everything, and Philly was not quite there. Next year, I think, is the year where some of these teams really emerge and face and present a big challenge to the Warriors. I think if they can plow through next year, which is saying a lot, and get to the finals and win, that's going to be huge on their legacy.
But I still think that the LeBron brand, you know, he's 33. He's probably got, he might have 5 years left. He has a $20 million mansion in Brentwood. He's got his own whole brand. He's got his entertainment company based in Burbank. I just kind of feel like LeBron got this freaking team to the finals. Like, what does he have to prove anymore? I mean, he is the man. We know it. I think with the Lakers, he could pull in a couple other guys and they could make a serious run, challenge the Warriors. But he might be at the point in his life that he's thinking about what happens next and, you know, what's best for my lifestyle. I don't know anything about him. That might not be true, but it also could be.
I think the Lakers should have beat the Clippers to Jerry West. If Jerry West was in the Laker front office net right now, he'd be camped out on LeBron's front door, and he would sell him, because Jerry West is a phenomenal salesman. But that can't happen, so we'll see.
So I just want to say thank you real quick to Ann and Scott for helping me out through these playoffs. They've been awesome. It's been a great ride. We've had a lot of fun in Cleveland. And, you know, I really appreciate all you guys following along for all of our coverage all season. I had a great time. Only my second year on the beat, and I'm actually, you know, not that I'm on the team, but Rick Welts did say I'm undefeated tonight, you know. But stay locked and loaded to SF Chronicle, SF Gate. We're gonna still have tons of content throughout the off season, and I plan to keep this podcast going. As long as I'm not on vacation, I will go on vacation at some point in the off season. But as long as I'm working, we will have this going. So it's going to be fun.
This show is part of the San Francisco Chronicle Podcast Network. Our theme music is Thank You for Playing by Ryan Little, courtesy of the Free Music Archive. This show is produced by me and Fernando Diaz. For more Warriors coverage, you can follow us on Twitter at @con_cron, @ScottOsler, and @AnnKillian. Check out all of our coverage at sfchronicle.com. Also, follow us on iTunes, and if you have some time, give us some feedback.